I'm Emily Tackett, and this is Just So, a University of Oklahoma podcast about thought leaders in the heartland. We're having conversations with some of the brightest minds who are dreaming big, working hard, and paving the way to a brighter future. There's an education crisis in Oklahoma. Teachers are moving out of state to earn more livable wages, and people are being emergency certified to fill positions in classrooms. This is not the future we wanted for our students, but educators and leaders are focusing on solutions instead of just the problem. This week, we're lucky to have Dean Greg Garn on the show from the Jeanine Rainbolt College of Education. He has some innovative ideas on how we can rally together, support educators in our community, and keep talented and caring teachers in Oklahoma. There's a little bit of an education crisis in Oklahoma right now and several other states across the country. We're trusting teachers to do this incredibly important job educating our youth, but in a lot of instances, we're not even paying them a livable wage. Can you just kind of explain the state of education in Oklahoma right now?
One of the ways that I would sort of frame that is think about three basic questions. Do you think a teacher should be able to save for his or her children's education? Do you think a teacher should have their children eligible for free and reduced lunch because of the amount that they make? Do you think a teacher should be required to have at least one extra job to be able to make bills by the end of the month? Because that's the crisis that we're at in this state. And if you actually look at some of the historical data on teacher salaries, there was a project I was on the other day, over about the last 15 years ago, teachers made 2% less than the average college graduate. Okay, so if you think about the people that come into my college, like that's not they're overwhelming. I'm gonna get rich by going into education, something a teacher has never said.
Right.
Well, if you look at that gap today, 15 years later, it's about 17%. So you see this huge growth in terms of wages among other professions, and it's been absolutely stagnant among teachers. So I think part of what you're getting at in terms of the crisis is the salary side. But then I think the other side of the equation is just respect. Like if you think about the role in which teachers play, historically, they've been sort of the core of that community. I think increasingly they have sort of been framed as part of the problem rather than part of the explanation of the solution.
Our teachers walked out in April and they're asking for classroom funding. Lawmakers passed a $6,000 raise, but I've heard teachers are kind of concerned that this isn't really going to materialize. Can you talk about what happened there and what's actually going to change?
Yeah, I think the raise has actually materialized. It's gone into the paychecks at this point. But I think the fear was there had been so many years where there was sort of a promise and then something would pop up and they'd have to pull it back that I think teachers were incredibly wary of that. You've seen a number of different reactions to that. And one of the main reactions is lots of our best teachers have left the state of Oklahoma. They've just sort of said, look, I love this profession, but in terms of the expectations and the compensation, there are other places where I can be fulfilled just as a human being. This is what I want to do. But to do it under these conditions are incredibly difficult. So I think the state of Oklahoma made a good step forward last session. And if you actually look at the sort of political reaction, if you will, lots and lots of conversation in this upcoming November election, regardless of the candidate, from the governor on down to sort of more localized leader, is about investments in education. So I think that message has gotten through, but I think so many teachers in the preceding 5, 7, 10 years, whatever time period you want to look at, had just sort of said, enough. I love taking care of kids. I love educating kids, but under these conditions, I probably need to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I have a lot of close friends that are teachers. One moved to Colorado, a state that's also having walkouts. One moved to Madrid. People went back to school. And it's really sad because they're, you know, they were incredible teachers who really loved it, were really passionate about it. But they're not moving away to get rich. They're just moving away to stay above water.
You saw it, was it like 2 years ago? The state teacher of the year here at Norman High School. He and his wife ended up moving to just across the border to Texas. And one of the things that he had posted on social media was the difference in his paycheck. And it was a $40,000 difference in their combined family income moving about 140 miles to the south. And again, he was real clear. He didn't want to move. But with a young child, he felt like to sort of take care of the family, they needed to be able to consider those things. So in the big picture, I think Oklahoma is now getting it. I think political leaders are understanding that they need to make these investments in education. And so I think it's certainly trending in the right direction, but you've had so much movement and so much churn. Just one of the things that I think is interesting is the way in which teachers come into the classroom. So if you think about the regular way, if you will, they come into the College of Education, they learn about sort of that deep content knowledge, right? I'm going to be a math teacher. And so I take lots of classes in mathematics. I also take some classes in the science of learning. I have guided experiences where I'm teaching with a number of mentors kind of wrapped around me, making sure that things go well. I focus a lot on technology and sort of integrating to inspire kids and connect that. So that's one pathway. There are seven other pathways into the classroom, and the leading pathway right now is something called emergency certification. So none of those things happen for those emergency certified teachers. It's essentially, you know, last week I was doing, you pick the job. This week I'm teaching algebra, and it's the first time being in front of kids. And so if you look at the numbers of that pathway, about 2,000 emergency certified teachers came into the workforce in the state of Oklahoma last year. That's more than all the College of Ed combined. So the sort of the importance of being a teacher and training for the profession, obviously I'm biased, right? I lead a college of education, so that, but I can show you lots of data that shows if you are well prepared, not only do you stay in the profession longer, but your kids, your children that you teach perform better. So if you sort of look at the long term, we've got so many people coming in from these different pathways, there will be a consequence.
Yeah, like what's at stake if we continue down this path? People aren't going to want to move here. People aren't going to want to send their kids to public schools. What's at stake?
Yeah, I think there's lots of consequences. Again, I'm an optimistic sort of hopeful person, and so I think if we can get great teachers in schools, that's what people are looking for. Like they're sort of a mix of things. I think for a while economically, some of the decisions were, well, if we can have an incredibly low tax base, that will attract people here. I think what we realized is that's part of the equation, but the other part of the equation is we need schools where either the graduates are going to be able to have the kind of skill set that they can do the kind of work that we need, or families are going to feel comfortable moving from any number of other places to here and putting their kids in a school system that they feel good and comfortable about. And so I think we kind of got to the point where we really emphasized maybe the tax side of the equation and forgot a little bit in terms of the investment in the quality teachers and school side of the equation. Again, I'm optimistic that we've rediscovered that, and I think we're moving in the right direction, but there's definitely a lag. Like if you actually see, we've done more emergency certifications in the last 3 months than we've done ever. And so even with this increase in salary, you see sort of this lag in terms of the development of great teachers coming through. So hopefully that gets turned around, but it's just not going to turn on a dime.
Definitely. You've been featured on TED for some of your ideas for potential solutions to help this issue in Oklahoma and in other places. Can you talk about those ideas?
Yeah. So so this is just a little bit about my mentality. I get so frustrated with the way that I sort of think about it. In my life, in everybody's life, you run into people who are awesome problem identifiers. Like they can just say, ooh, that's a huge problem. What I want are the problem solvers. And so that's what I've tried to surround. The College of Education is this unbelievable place with so many creative people. And one of the things that we kept bumping into with a lot of our students is with scholarships, as an example, we'd have folks that would come in, think, I want to be a science teacher or a math teacher or an English teacher or an elementary teacher, whatever area. They would sort of get to the point of graduation. We'd wrap scholarships around them. And then they decide, nope, I'm not going to teach. I want to do something totally different, which again, if my whole program is focused on learning, it gives you a lot of opportunities for jobs in different areas, but that's not a good return on that scholarship. And so one of the first ideas that we sort of came up with is this idea of debt-free teachers. if you come to the Jeanine Rainbolt College of Education, you graduate, you simply stay in the state and teach. Each year that you teach, we'll forgive $5,000 of your investment in your higher ed loans. So if you think about what that does, number one, it allows people to put down roots. It's good for, right? Good for the community. We now have over 100 teachers that are either in the College of Education or in the state of Oklahoma because of this program. So whatever that sort of counter tide of people moving out to teach other places, we were able to create something to keep them here. And basically every year you teach for a total of 4 years or $20,000, you can wear away that debt by simply being a great teacher in the state of Oklahoma. The one thing that we couldn't do is increase salary, right? I mean, whatever tools I had, I can't give a teacher a raise. But if you don't have to worry about the debt service on a higher ed loan at maybe, let's say, $300 a month that I'm paying back, that actually is a raise in that I now have the discretion on that money if I'm simply staying in the state of Oklahoma and being a great teacher. So that was sort of the first idea that we thought about, is if we could re-engineer scholarships in a way where donors and for the good of the state, we could keep more of those teachers here. That was kind of the first idea. And that had some real traction in a lot of places. The second idea that we're sort of working on now is home ownership for teachers. And if you think about sort of you can maybe stack up a number of these things, then you start to get enough where if I want to be a teacher and I want to stay in Oklahoma, you can start to say, okay, there's enough things here that make sense versus maybe a dramatically increased salary somewhere.
So are there ways for people who are interested in improving education, ways for them to partner with OU or the College of Education to help teachers in the state?
That is a great question. And my first answer for that is take a field trip. Like, go see your local school. I think a lot of times the information we rely on about the quality of teachers or schools or what's happening, it's always better to sort of firsthand. So the first thing that I'd say is if people are interested in kind of connecting and actually seeing for themselves some of the good things and some of the challenges that are happening in schools, go take a field trip. And you can do that in a number of different ways through connecting with your local schools. The second thing that I'd say is there are so many different people that can help out with schooling. Like, it's not just the day-to-day instruction, but it could be the facilities, it could be the support for teachers, it could be investing in a scholarship or the debt-free teachers program. There's a ton of different ways that people can get involved. But the first most important thing that I always say is take that field trip. Like, go see for yourself what's going on, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to be incredibly inspired at what you see in just that dynamic interaction between a really great teacher and his or her students in that classroom. And I think once you can see that, it oftentimes will get you kind of moving forward to say, okay, if I'm a community banker, what are the ways that I could help out? Or if I'm a physician, what are the ways that I could help out? Or if I'm just a parent who cares deeply about education, not just for my kids, but for kids in the larger community, there are all kinds of ways that you can connect in.
These solutions that can stack up to help attract and retain smart teachers is so important, but also you hit on respect and valuing them as part of our communities. And how as a community do you think we can pull together and show more respect and value to teachers?
So I'll give you a great example of a conversation that I saw in Yukon, Oklahoma, where some community leaders came together to basically have this question: how can I help out local schools? And the school superintendent did a phenomenal job of sort of structuring this conversation. And essentially what happened is the community leaders looked at the teachers and said, you all, by the nature of your job, are invested in the future of my children. And so what we're going to do is match dollar for dollar in a 529 education savings plan. Every dollar you put in, we'll match it. Right? So again, look at how that goes both ways. If I'm the teacher, they're investing financially in my child being able to have some money saved up to go to college. If I'm the community leader, I'm investing directly in the children of that teacher in the same way that they're. So those are the kind of examples that I think really connect on a number of different levels. And again, the folks in UConn were not it wasn't they were on a daily basis inside the schools, but made a huge impact on teachers feeling good and secure about teaching in that district. If that's a district that does that, like that's a great signal to say, boy, that's a place where I want to teach versus a number of other districts where that maybe isn't a conversation anywhere.
They don't feel as supported.
For sure.
So I know that a lot of educators are feeling discouraged, but I love your hopeful outlook. And do you think that we're at least moving in a positive direction?
I do. I'm incredibly optimistic. I go back. I spend a lot of time getting out, sort of interacting with teachers and leaders. And I am overwhelmingly hopeful in terms of the folks that we have there. They care deeply about kids. If we can get a couple of these other things on the right track, I think we've got a really bright future. It's not as immediate as people would like to see. Like when you make decisions over a decade, there's a consequence there, and it takes a little bit of time to sort of move in a different direction. It's the metaphor of sort of turning the battleship. It's not the quickest kind of a movement, but we've got so many great people that care about kids that are in this profession that, again, I'm optimistic moving forward.
If you could give a word of encouragement to all the teachers out there, what would you say?
Yeah, I'd just say the best teachers that I see are always learning and collaborating. So education is this great job where it's not like I graduate, I have the set of knowledge, and then I use that distinct knowledge the rest of my career. There is always some way to get better. And usually that comes from great conversations with colleagues. So if you get phenomenal teachers in the same building or in the same district, it's having those conversations to share, boy, this really bombed today. This thing did not work the way. And then you get some good feedback to say, well, have you thought about this? Or maybe try this. Or this was the lesson that exceeded everything that I'd ever done before. And here's what I did differently this time. Like, I think that professional conversation is so important. And it is almost a buoyancy for teachers as they're able to have some of those conversations back and forth. So that's my best advice, is find great colleagues. And if you're in a small district, oftentimes that might happen through technology, where Skype, a number of different ways to be able to do this. Again, I think podcasting is a phenomenal way to be able to connect and transfer some of those ideas as well. So find a great podcast, and oftentimes you can get new ideas that way as well.
Thank you so, so much for being on our show today. Really, really enjoyed having you and loved all your ideas.
You bet. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thanks for tuning in. Just So is produced by me, Emily Tackett, and Drew Bernard. Artwork by Amy Azure. Don't forget to rate our podcast and leave a review. We'll see you next time.